For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In her TED Talk given in 2010, Dr. Jane McGonigal explained how through research she discovered that online gaming has the ability to change the world. You heard me correctly. Online gaming has the ability to change the world, she said. It seems like an outrageous claim, and she even admits that herself. But her research led there nonetheless. See, people who play online video games, by the time they reach 21, play about 10,000 hours of video games. That seems like a lot. It's an important number for two reasons. One, in the United States, from fifth grade until graduating high school with perfect attendance, a student will be in school for 10,080 hours. So it is almost as if the lessons learned in video game world are a parallel education with the formal education of school. The second reason that 10,000 is a significant number for this study is that in 2010, this was about when Outliers, the book by Malcolm Gladwell, was coming out. Some of you know his theory that said if one studies in anything for 10,000 hours, one can become a virtuoso in that thing. So, Dr. McGonigal says, we have more and more young people becoming virtuosos at online gaming. But it's even more than that. There are four specific areas, she says, that they are becoming virtuosos in. First, urgent optimism. This is the desire to act immediately to conquer an obstacle with a hope of success and feeling self-motivated to do so. Second is social fabric. McGonigal's research shows that we like people better after we play a game with them, mostly because of trust. We trust them to follow the rules, to finish the game, to not cheat us out of Monopoly money or whatever. Third is blissful productivity. Gamers are happier working hard to accomplish a task, to accomplish something productive. They'd rather do that than just kind of sit around, which is true for all of us. We'd rather work hard to do something well and to accomplish something. Fourth, epic meaning. Gamers like to be attached to awe-inspiring missions, stories of incredible world-changing scale. All of these four things add up to gamers being called what she has sort of dubbed this term, super empowered, hopeful individuals. Super empowered, hopeful individuals. These are people who participate in a story, working with others in a community to achieve epic wins, those extraordinarily positive outcomes that you didn't otherwise know you could achieve, and doing so to change the world. Now, of course, the world that they're changing is virtual. But she says that to take this notion and to apply it to our lives, one could see how we could address some of the biggest issues facing our world. The Christian claim, drawn from this idea, is that we are able to, as super empowered, hopeful individuals, work to restore ourselves, those around us in our communities, in the world, to a full and life-giving relationship with God. It isn't very frequent, at least not in my experience, for our calls to take the form of quests to far-off continents to fight with griffins and dragons. Now, in case that sentence didn't give it away, gaming isn't really my thing, but come with me now here, we'll explore. More frequently, however, we are called to regularly interact with a society broken by homelessness, by greed, violence. The list goes on, and you know it better than I do. There are many weeds among the wheat in our world, and these can be daunting beasts. And yet, one of the primary aspects of our Christian identity given to us at baptism, when we are marked as Christ's own forever, is to be people of hope. As gamers are super empowered, hopeful individuals in their gaming worlds, we are called to be the same, joined with our faith community, in the very real and broken world in which we live day after day. This epic journey as people bearing the hope of Christ begins at the moment of our baptism, when we are adopted as God's children, promising to love the world as God loves us. Baptism is the moment of the beginning of the journey following Christ. It is the time when we are officially called to be super empowered, hopeful individuals in the world. The epistle reading for today, taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, calls to mind some of these images of baptism. And Paul writes, "You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." When we receive this spirit of adoption and baptism, we become children of God and are united with Christ in his own baptism by water and the Holy Spirit. It is this same spirit that marks us forever as Christ's own to go into the world. This Holy Spirit and our own spirit, Paul says, bear witness together to our adoption as God's children. And as such, we are called to live as hopeful people. Okay, you might be thinking, that's great, Stephen, but hope is sort of vague. I don't really get it. It's sort of a distant concept for me. It doesn't really help my day-to-day living. It's kind of a nebulous idea. I really need something to see, to hold on to. You might be saying, hope does sound kind of lovely, though. I'm sure they might have taught you something about that in seminary, but I can't really wrap my mind around what it really means for my world, day in and day out. And I get that. Hope is sort of a vague concept. The word is used in so many ways. One can hope for a certain birthday present. One can hope, maybe in vain, that the Royals will finally make the playoffs. Or we can consider that for Christians, hope is profoundly tangible and incarnate in our lives all around us. We are called to make it even more so in a world that desperately needs it. Paul writes in this portion of the letter to the Romans that hope that is seen is not hope. Hope is, for Paul, in its very nature, not seen. And the difficult thing about that for us is that we too frequently see the weeds that Jesus refers to in this gospel lesson, and not the hope of the wheat. One example, though, of people living out the hope of Christ within them occurred in Philadelphia about 8 or 10 days ago. 768 youth and 263 adult leaders gathered there for 4 days at the Episcopal Youth Events, commonly called EYE. St. Thomas's own Jocelyn Schmidt was a member of the delegation from the Diocese of Kansas. Social media was full of pictures, videos, songs, sermons, articles describing the energetic and spirit-filled 4 days of EYE. Their theme was marked for mission, and the youth spent their time in worship and service, hearing about and reflecting on our call as Christians to love and serve a world in need. The youth showed the love of Christ to one another, going from strangers to friends in just a few days, all while learning about their faith and worshiping God. Bishop Michael Curry, known throughout the Episcopal Church, certainly in the church worldwide, I think, is known for his preaching, and he offered a sermon at EYE. It made its way around social media because of his style. It's very engaging. Before charging the participants to go into the world, to love it as God loves it, he reminded them that in the Bible, whenever God is about to change the world, God tells that person in the Bible to go. Those people, we must go into the world. We must engage the world around us. We must face the weeds of the world and trust that God is working in us to make us more wheat-like. And we can, through our witness to the hope given to us in Christ and our baptism, do our part to grow more wheat among the weeds of the world. The community gathered in Philadelphia of the youth embodied the hope of Christ to each other and to the wider city as they then went and served in many outreach organizations for the next 3 days. These youth and adults can share with their own communities as they arrive home the hope of Christ they encountered there, having left a place filled with wheat and returning back to a world increasingly controlled by weeds. This example reveals that hope is not so vague and nebulous after all. It can be revealed and witnessed to in each one of our lives as we show the world the mark of the Spirit of adoption given to us in baptism. We are called to be embodied and lived out hope in the world today because we have been marked at our baptism for this service of God's mission in the world. You know this as well as I do. Violence never seems to end, it only seems to increase. But we can witness to a peaceful vision for the world. Stories of suffering only seem to take over our news feeds more and more frequently. But we can show the world the love of God even still and work to change that suffering. Living as hopeful people is a difficult task. The world says not to. Sometimes whatever is happening in our own lives or our loved ones' lives won't allow us or makes us feel impossible to feel hopeful. But the hope of Christ still remains true and alive within us. When we aren't able to show it or feel it, we can depend on each other. That's the beauty of walking this Christian path together. We have each other in times when we can't feel it. And in times that we can show it to each other because maybe that person is facing the struggle that we just came out of. The Christian hope, grounded in and born out of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the hope that we witness to with our lives in a world full of weeds. The weeds can seem overwhelming. Hope can seem vague and distant. But let us resist the temptation to fall into this and to hold on to the spirit of adoption that we have been given at our baptism and work to sow wheat among the weeds, witnessing to the hope of Christ within us.